Hey guys, Muller67 here. Just letting you know, I am sorry for not uploading the episodes to Spotify or other streaming services. I got kind of busy. I thought about taking a week off. Me and Austin decided, and then we just kept doing episodes, and I kept forgetting to upload them, and then it just became an overbearing amount of episodes. So I have been editing them. I'm editing them down now, and I will be releasing two episodes every week until we are caught back up like we did whenever we first began the podcast. So again, thank you all so much for listening to the episodes on Spotify. I know a couple of episodes kept getting re-listened to, so hopefully you guys will enjoy these episodes as they come out, and hopefully we'll see you soon when you guys catch up. As always, thank you so much for stopping by, and thank you so much for tuning in. And now, time for the show.
And Shows is filmed in front of a live Twitch audience.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Bros and Shows. I am your host, Josiah, aka Mauler67, and with me, as always, I got my buddy, I got my pal, I got my brother Austin. Austin, how you doing today?
Good. How about everyone that's listening on Twitch, and if you're listening on Spotify, hi.
It's very much hi, how you doing? This is a pre-recorded show for anyone who's watching before. And you know what that means? Because it's pre-recorded, that means we got a friend with us. We got our friend of the show, our buddy of the show, our pal of the show. Jordan's here. Jordan, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Good.
Good, good, good. Heck yeah. That's what I like to hear. So, Austin. Actually, no. We'll start with Jordan. Jordan, how was your week?
Other than, you know, the inevitable overtime I have to do this week, it was pretty good. I got to go home and have Thanksgiving with my family, so that was nice. Albeit quick, I left Wednesday night and had to come back Thursday afternoon, so.
Ouch.
Yeah, I didn't have much time to spend there, but.
Did you drive, or did you take, like, a train or something?
Oh, I drove.
You drove, okay. I mean, how long of a drive is that for you?
It's like 2.5 hours.
Okay, 2.5 hours. That's not terrible. That's about what I do for to go home. And I was only there for like a day. So, all right, that sounds good. I'm sorry about the overtime, man. That sucks. Know how that feels, but not to the extent. Austin, how was your day? Or week? Weeks, whatever you want to call it.
Well, we already did our Thanksgiving like last week, so. Really, this time I just had to go to Akron this weekend and had to help my wife's cousin put in some flooring. Well, he ended up switching up and doing the cabinets, so we were sanding cabinets all Friday. Mm. And then I got to pick up a tabletop game that I've been wanting to pick up, and it's been growing in popularity so much that they've upped the prices for it. And there's a small game store in Kent, Ohio that is called, I think it's called Toy Wagon. And I saw it there before and I was like, I'll go back. So I went back and they did not have it. And I was like, oh man, bummer. So I asked the guy and he was like, hey, we might have one in back. So he actually went in the back and grabbed me Tapple. That is the game that I've been looking for. And it's selling for right now for like $30 to $40 because of TikTok. There's some places that are still selling it for the standard retail price, which is $19.99, which they sold it to me for $20. It's not really a tabletop. It's more of like a board game. It's like a party game for people. It's fairly easy. It's like this round circle that has like all the ABCs on it. And then like you flip a card and it says like a category, like it'd be like name movies. So then like you would click, what the movie would start with. So like if I was going to say The Departed, which is my favorite movie, you would click Departed and then you click the timer.
Shouldn't
and then, like,
it be
people go
the
around. Ooh, whatever. But yeah, no, overall had a good, great weekend. I watched a lot of college football and came back and got to watch some pro football today, but pretty much nothing's going on this, you know, this weekend. Next weekend I'll be in Pittsburgh, so
that's too bad. I mean, that's great. Oh my gosh, I'm so happy.
Oh, it's so great you're coming.
Yes. That's good, yeah. Austin. I'm glad to hear that. I told you about my kerfuffle coming back from Pittsburgh. My car's back rear end brakes went out. And not like to the point where like they stopped working, but the brake pads like faded out or broke or something. Because it legitimately had no issue. Got home, left to go back to Pittsburgh. Anytime I stopped, just that little like scraping noise.
Oh, so it's your brake pads, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, ugh. So I put in a request at Midas to get a, what is that called, where they look at it?
A brake inspection?
No. They're just going to look at it and tell me what their estimate. They're going to give me an estimate on how much they think it's going to be or whatnot.
Yeah.
And then when they respond back to me finally, because they said it would give me 4 business hours, but they had 7 and they never sent it back. And so I'm wondering if I'll get on tomorrow morning. So that's what I'm hoping for. But until then, I am stuck from using my car. Which I don't use it all that much, but I do use it to go get groceries or to go do things like me and Jordan, we went to, one time, Jordan, don't twist my arm. One time. I went to the Forge with you and that is one of the things I want to go back to. Me and Blake, I'll occasionally take Blake to the card shop, Top Deck to play Digimon on Tuesday nights. Did that twice and that's enjoyable, but until the car's fixed, can't do that. So that's my life. About to see more money live in my pocket, and hey, that sucks. But Austin,
that's life.
Jordan, let's talk about our show this week. Our show this week is called The Ring of Power. It is a Amazon movie show. It's a show. Of the Lord of the Rings variety. First and foremost, I want to know your guys' backstory, background with just Lord of the Rings in general. If you guys read the books, if you haven't read the books, if you've seen, like what's your guys' backstory? And so, Austin, we'll go first with you.
Okay. So, the first time I was introduced to Lord of the Rings was in, I think it was like, fifth grade? Yeah, fifth grade's when I was at Bud school. You know, I don't know if you remember where the library's at in Bud. It's like the second floor.
Yes, yeah, I remember. I think
it was in like the second floor. Or no, it wasn't. It wasn't? I don't remember. But I remember everyone talking about this, you know, movie that's going to be coming out soon. And I wasn't a fan of it at all. And I wasn't really into like stuff like that at that time. I was more into like comic books, so like I really didn't care too much more about reading a book. But then of course I jumped on that hype train, and I just decided to completely dive in and read The Fellowship of the Ring. And I was like, well, I already finished this book. I actually had a reading report on this book, and I actually had to do a whole report on that. So then I was like, well, I'm going to finish the other ones and see how I like them. I read all three of those books, and then I ended up reading The Hobbit. And what's really funny is I think one of us actually had to read The Hobbit in school, and I think it was our older brother, because he had a copy of The Hobbit at our house. And I remember reading that copy. It was like a paperback book.
Mm-hmm.
But then after that, I watched the movies, and then I watched the Hobbit movies. And, you know, that's kind of where I stopped watching Lord of the Rings. I just, like, gave up after that. I have watched the extended cuts, like the, what was it? They have, like, those extended cuts they have now on HBO Max. Yeah, the extended
versions, yep.
Yeah, I finally ended up watching that when I worked, like, about a year ago at this dude's place, because I really didn't have anything going on because he was sleeping all the time. So I was like, eh. You know, I'll watch the extended version and see how they did everything. And there's a couple things that I wish they would have, like, done with those movies. You know, because the thing is right around the time when, like, movies were a big thing at that period when Return of the King came out, a 3-hour-long movie is a lot for a person to...
I remember, like, that being a big big issue for a lot of people back whenever we were low. People were like, 3 hour long movie, that's ridiculous.
And now, like, most of the big blockbuster movies are about 3 hours long. Like, Avatar is 3 hours. The new Avatar is 3 hours. We just watched Wakanda Forever, like, last week. And that was 3 hours, you know, in Endgame. So, you know, watching it back then, people were just like, whoa, dude, I need a bathroom break. Whoa, I didn't expect that. But also, too, is we really didn't have a lot of the internet, like, access a lot of people had. Because, you know, like, when I go to watch a movie now, I'll look to see what the runtime is so I can prepare for, like, me being a middle-aged man to be like, oh, well, maybe I should go to the bathroom before I start this movie so I don't miss anything.
Yeah.
So that's my whole thing that I know about Lord of the Rings. I'm not completely well-versed into the, like the whole lore of Lord of the Rings. I do know a lot about, like, the books, and I do know a lot about the movies. So this show was, you know, something I've never heard of before. So I went in completely blind on this.
Okay.
So yeah, but yeah.
All right, Jordan, what about you? What's your knowledge?
So I watched it back in, like, middle school when the Two Towers first came out, because normally every year for my birthday we go out and watch a movie. Some years it's a good movie, some years it's kind of it's like a Christmas theme movie because I was born around that time. But one year we went, and my uncle and cousin took me, and we watched The Two Towers, which is the second movie in the franchise, and I loved it. I was like, that's so cool, I liked it. But back then I was just like, cool, big epic battle. They're sieging Helm's Deep and all that stuff. I was like, that's cool. So when I finally watched Fellowship of the Ring, I was like, this is boring. Which a lot of people are just like, wow, really?
Yeah, so at the, like, apex of the middle book, and you're like, oh, it's battles and everything. Fellowship is like, and we're walking.
Yeah. So after that, I did try to read through the Lord of the Rings. I had a very hard time with it because I'm dyslexic, so, like, I had a very hard time reading because it's done in a very, like, old English style of speech.
Yep.
So it was very hard to follow sometimes what was going on. But I actually technically had an experience before that when, like, I was in, like, fourth or fifth grade, where one of my classmates did a report on The Hobbit, a book report on The Hobbit, and because of that, we were able to actually watch the old animated movie from the 1980s of it. Yeah. I was just like, and that's technically my first one, but I didn't know they were connected until, like, I started getting into it.
Interesting. Okay.
But then I did start getting into it. Like, I always do what I do when I get interested in something. I start looking into lore and all this stuff and, like, other deep dives and things like that. And, like, actually at my high school, they had the Silmarillion.
Really?
They had the Silmarillion. And I was always tempted to check it out and, like, read through it. But I was like, no, I got to finish the other books first. And I never finished the other books, so I never took it out. But looking back, I was like, wow, they actually had the Silmarillion at my high school. But yeah, I watched all the movies. I watched all the Hobbit movies. I am a Lord of the Rings fan. Like, I've played through Shadow of War. Or Shadow of Mordor, the first one.
Is that the one with, it's like Assassin's Creed?
Yeah, that's the Assassin's Creed, like, one.
Cool, cool, cool,
And then I played through the second one a little bit. And then that one I didn't get very far in, but I ended up looking up how all that goes down. But, like, other than that, like, I've played a lot of the games that have come out, because I played, like, the old bad RPG, The Third Age, which was it was rough. It was very rough.
Hold on. You just awoken something by me by mentioning that. Did any of you guys ever play the Battlefront game that they made?
We were just talking about that, like, a week ago, actually, because the guy I take care of, his grandpa used to play that game and he loved it. And then he played like the one that Jordan was just talking about. But I was like, I thought they shut that down. And then he was like, no, they didn't shut that down. So I looked it up. I was like, well, no, this, the original is still going. But the one that I remember was the Battlefront style one where it was like you had spawn camps.
Yeah, you all spawn, you took things, and then occasionally one of you would be picked to play like the Balrog for the bad guy or play Gandalf for the good guys. Like,
and the games.
I never heard of that one. Third Age was like a console RPG, but I do know they did an MMO. Both of them were not good.
I will have to look that up because I remember actually liking that game. Specifically, I like being the bad guys in that game because one of the orcs. Did you look it up? Because that sounds very familiar.
No, I didn't, but I know that was one of the Lord of the Rings games. It was like Lord of the Rings Conquests.
It was Lord of the Rings Conquest. That was the name of the game, I'm pretty sure.
I can't remember.
Not 85% sure.
I know we had demo for it, but I don't remember for what for. Maybe it was for Xbox 360.
It was a demo that was on, I think it was a magazine that we had where they had they used to give out demo books in magazines. Because I remember we had a couple of demos of Tony Hawk. We had one of Beautiful Joe and all those. I'm thinking it was Conquest. I think that's what it was.
I'm not sure. I don't remember it enough to be able to say what it was. And that's my issue. I don't even remember where I played it. I just remember having it in the back of my head.
Yeah, we actually had a demo of it. That's how I remember it. Me and you played the demo multiple times. I remember playing it because they had an open server, an open beta server for that game. And a lot of people played it. Talking about those games, I actually enjoy two of Lord of the Rings games, actually. Two Towers and Return of the King are both on PS2.
I played
and
those were two.
Really good.
I love those. Actually,
yeah, except during Helm's Deep part where you have to shoot the orcs that have the gas barrels on the back of the thing.
Oh, yeah.
It was so stressful as a kid because you're just like, oh my gosh, if I miss this Legolas, I'm dead.
Mine was literally when you have to defend in the courtyard, they're literally getting ready to breach the main room and you have to defend the courtyard and it's just all of these orcs, some trolls coming into it. It's like they didn't really have trolls at the battle, but they get to spawn in this game because you fought one earlier in the game and all that stuff. It was just oh my gosh.
I remember our friend Dylan up the road had Return of the King on GameCube, and we would all, because GameCube on Return of the King, I think Return of the King, the game, would let you play with multiplayer, with friends, co-op. And I think it was a four-man co-op, actually, that you could play with.
You could do that with the PlayStation version, but it was only two players. But I think if you had that adapter that the PS2 had...
Oh, the multi-tap.
Yeah, you might be able to do four players, but I know you could normally only do two.
Yeah, because we did four on Return of the King, and I remember how crazy fun that was, especially the part where we had to go in and get the ghost army, the dead spirit army from... I forget. It's been a long time, but yeah.
Okay, that's great. I love that we went on a long tangent about Lord of the Ring games. I think we've now officially labeled how most of y'all know Lord of the Rings. For me, very similar to you guys. I watched the movies first, loved it because I was a big fantasy kid whenever growing up. Never read the books, but then read The Hobbit. Austin, you spoke about the book that our brother had. I read that one in high school too because it was just sitting there, so I just started reading it, read it all, loved it, thought it was great. Never seen any of the Hobbits movies, but I have watched all the extended shows of it. And then I did not know until I was in college that there was a other book that was a historical book called The Silmarillion or Samarilla or whatever it's called. I can't say it because I've never read it. I didn't know that thing existed for a while. And I had no clue. And I guess that leads us into what the show, The Ring of Powers, because if I'm understanding correctly, this is what is mentioned or talked about in the Silmarillion to some extent.
It's a more linear, like they skip over a lot because it jumps kind of right into like post-war with Morgoth, who was okay. like if you don't know who Morgoth is, it's who's basically Sauron's master. He was I believe, because he was a Valar, and the Valar were essentially like gods in the Lord of the Rings world, and then I think they're called the Aesir is what like Gandalf and like Saruman and Sauron are. They are essentially like they're angels.
Yeah, and I've heard that before, yeah.
And he basically gets corrupted by Morgoth and all this stuff, so that's why he follows him. But like this takes place after the war with Morgoth, when Sauron's like kind of rise to power and like take back
the Middle Earth.
Yeah.
Yeah. And see, that's the thing. Like there's a lot of characters in this show. And we can start talking about the show itself. Because I have no knowledge of any of this stuff. All I can do is connect what small connections I have and then just throw out like conspiracy theories for what's else there. And someone who knows the Silmarillion would be able to tell me like, you're wrong, you're right, yes or no. And it's the shoes on the other foot. Because when it comes to Game of Thrones, I'm over here being like, this is where everything goes. This is how everything happens in the new show. In this show, I'm like, I don't know. All I can do is spout crazy conspiracies and see if I'm right. So, let's dig into it.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan, what'd you think about the Ring of Power?
So, at first, I was kind of like, I was falling into like the trap of listening to people online like, oh, it's so bad. Because like, I have like people I'm like friends with online that are like huge fans of like Lord of the Rings, and they were just kind of like disappointed in it. Like they were like whenever you first saw like the trailer, like whenever they're like, keeping people hyped up and they're like showing off like the costumes and some behind the scenes stuff and all that stuff, they were like, oh, this looks really good, it looks cool, this is gonna be really cool. But like when the first episode came out, didn't care for it. They were like, it's kind of overall. They didn't like how some of the things worked, and I was just kind of like, I kind of got turned off from it. But then like, our friend Alex was just like, well, me and my wife are gonna watch it because they're huge fans. Like they'll be, if they were here, they would be able to tell us. Especially Emily would be able to tell us. I was like, no, this is how this happens, because she's. From what I understand, the encyclopedia, and then Alex just likes to regurgitate what she tells
him. Dang it, Jordan. Why do we have you on the show? No, we can.
Because I was available.
You were available, and also you've been friend of the show for a bit, and we just enjoy having you on.
But so then I gave it a shot. And I will admit, first episode, I was there, but I also wasn't. I was just kind of like, just watching it, being like, maybe it'll get better.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it started to pull me in, and I started to get more interested in some of the stuff and all that. So like, it did pick up, and it was like one of those things, just like, okay, well, I want to say it's this person, but like, it also might not be this person for like the things that are like being thrown at you throughout the show.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really cool. I thought that was cool what they were trying to do. And I know I think they're also speeding up events within the show. Cause I know like we get like spoiler, like this is pretty much a spoiler show.
Yeah. 100%. Like, just throw at it, man.
The Numenoreans,
yeah.
the humans that Galadriel ends up meeting while she's in the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
So they, from what I understand, from what I looked into, because like I said, I never read the Silmarillion, but I've looked up stuff for it. So like, they were supposed to end up capturing Sauron and keeping him on their island for like hundreds of years. And then he ends up working his way out of the dungeon somehow, and then like over these hundreds of years, becoming an advisor to the king. And like, in the book, Numenor falls. Like, the island gets, like, destroyed. And he was basically plotting this whole time. But he's not there, and they're already hinting at that in the show. With, like, the visions that the queen has.
Yeah. So they're straight up changing the story from
from what I understand, they were actually not allowed to take direct stories from the Silmarillion. They could take characters and events, but they could not do a direct one for one. They had to change some things up a little bit. And that's how, because that was like, I guess, one of the terms with the Tolkien family. And then it can have nothing to do with the trilogy.
Wait, with the original trilogy movies?
With the original, yeah, it cannot have anything to do with that either.
That seems like too big of a take, because like, I would assume...
Well, that's the thing. It's not Warner Brothers, it's Amazon.
Yeah. Okay. I guess I thought that Amazon bought the rights to the Lord of the Rings stuff.
It's also the fact of from what I understand, half the Tolkien family hates the original trilogy, the other half really likes it. So whoever is in majority control of Tolkien's estate is the one that's going to basically dictate who gets what.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So they can't do direct stories because there's a lot of stuff in the war with Morgoth that are really cool. So there's this one dragon that I can't ever pronounce his name right, but it's Anathar or something like that, the Black, and basically he's so massive, mountains fit in his hands.
Huh.
And there's just this epic battle between him and the eagles. And I believe it's an elf is riding on one of the eagles, and he's the reason why they were able to kill this massive dragon. But they skipped over a lot of that stuff. And this is basically, like I said, leading the Rings of Power is Sauron creating the Rings of Power. It's nine rings to men, the seven to dwarves, the three to elves, which we see at the end of the series.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the season, we get the three elven rings. But it's also feels like they're going to be jumping around a lot, not jumping around, condensing things across the timeline, because Isildur and his father, the one that saved Galadriel in the ocean, that Isildur is the one that cuts off the Ring of Power from Sauron in that battle in Mordor that starts off the Fellowship.
Oh, he's the one who refused to throw the ring in?
Yes, that is supposed to be him, from what I understand. Because it would be one thing, it was just it's a family name, Isildur, but his dad is literally what his dad's name is. So it's kind of it has to be him.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay, that is a topic of discussion at one point, because there is something I do want to bring up. But Austin, your go. I don't want to... What did you think of... The Ring of Power, the show itself.
So, you know my feeling on Lord of the Rings. Most people do. I am not a big fan of Lord of the Rings. There's a lot of things that I have problems with in the books and in the TV show. In the movies. I feel like this show to me. It took me a long time to finish the show. Season one to me was very boring and kind of drawn out. I didn't feel like the characters I could read. It was more of I didn't. Some of the actors I couldn't believe that these characters were. And sometimes I kind of would be watching it trying to focus, and it would just my brain would go somewhere else. But I forced myself to watch this. And I will say, I'm not a fan of the series. I just wasn't into it as much as I have been with other shows. This is one of those shows I feel like it really slowly burnt. And how characters worked in this show, sometimes I kind of guessed who they were. And I was like, oh, I know who that is. That's got to be that guy. And then the whole big... thing at the end, I kind of was like, oh yeah, of course they would do that at the end of this series. But after what Jordan was telling me about this whole different, a lot of things that they skipped over, So like what I'm being told by like a friend of ours is this is not the end of season one. This is like the first part of it, if I'm correct. I don't know if I'm correct on that, but someone said that there's more episodes to come here soon, which we'll cover then. But overall, I didn't really care too much for the show. I don't think it drew me in as much as like I wanted it to. Because I do like some aspects of Lord of the Rings. I do like characters from Lord of the Rings. I think Aragorn is a great, you know, what was it like? I'm trying to state, the boy is his grandfather?
The boy?
The one that's on the ship.
Oh, the one that's dead. That like the
is that his grandfather, or is that like
no? That's his ancestor.
Okay, like, that's his
Isildur,
ancestor.
Isildur is his ancestor.
That's what it is. Okay.
Because after this, it's like hundreds. Maybe I think it might be even 1,000 years.
Oh, okay.
Because like sense. Yeah. So like, that... yeah.
Yeah, like I guess that kind of like I was like, hey, I think that's Aragorn's like grandfather or something like that. The Gandalf thing, I'm pretty sure that's Gandalf, right? Like
Gandalf, yeah,
Gandalf.
Gandalf. I mean,
Ganondorf.
No. I know with some people, well, not some people. Alex specifically was like, no. At first, he thought it was Sauron, and they're trying to like give you like deceive you and be like. Oh
yeah,
the halfling, the hobbit like people, the Harfoots, and like it has to be Gandalf. He's like, nah, that's yeah. He felt like that was a mislead. But then after the end of this, I guess mid season break,
that little it's twist thing, like,
it's just like
actually I'm real, I banish you, and I was like, oh okay, it is Gandalf.
Yeah, I was kind of like,
that's what I kind of got at, is he's Gandalf. So I was like, oh okay, that and like Sauron is like kind of a little mischievous this season, actually. Like what was it, I always pronounce her name wrong, Galadriel? Yeah, so like, so she like when she when they capture him, like, well, I don't know, do they come out and say that he is Sauron? I think he's Sauron.
Oh yeah.
Okay. They announced it.
Yeah. I thought that's what they said. I thought I was like thinking something different.
Okay, so let me go before we start talking all about everything. Yeah.
Sorry, but yeah, I wasn't a big fan of it so far.
I'll kind of mirror you guys for the first two episodes. I was not super invested for the first two episodes. It wasn't until that, Elandar, the elf girl. I'm not gonna remember their names yet because I'm bad at season one namings.
Like Galadriel.
Galadriel, thank you, Galadriel. When she got found by those wayfarers, that's what made me interested. And then when the one elf guy got captured by the orcs, that was whenever I started actually paying attention a little more. Up to that point, I honestly. I was pretty spaced through some of it, just not really finding it interesting, kind of finding it kind of droll. Like it was fine, like I understood like where things were coming at, like they were establishing stuff. The thing that actually got me wholly invested was actually Elrond's story. I just like that story. I like the dwarves. Ned Stark.
The actor who plays Elrond is young Ned Stark from Game of Thrones, like when Bran has his vision.
It is! You know what's funny? I thought I saw him before. I'm like, I've seen this guy before in something, but I have no idea what he's from. And as I was watching, I'm just like, yeah, I like this story. I like the dwarves. I like everything that they did. Like it was an enjoyable. It's what I found most enjoyable before, like the whole. Like even the orcs or whatever started happening. Mm-hmm. But yeah, once they all started kind of going, I started getting more interested. I was not a big fan of the whole mysterious person fell from the sky, happens to have amnesia and he speaks a completely different language from us. I instantly started being like, all right, they're presenting this guy as like a good guy, so it's probably a bad guy. And then they pulled the old switcheroo, and I'm like, did you really pull the old switcheroo, or did you make it so obvious that everyone thought it was wrong to begin with? Like, I don't know. There's some questions there.
So I have a theory about who the stranger actually is, because they never actually came out and say it. Everyone at this point,
they called him Ishtar, which is wizard. That's the only thing we have on him. And at this point, let's just get into it. Yeah, let's all just talk about it. We're 30 minutes in. Let's just talk.
So like,
go on.
I honestly think they are still trying to like trick you, because it's like, it's obviously Gandalf, halfling, like hobbit like people. He has these kind thing, like it's leading up to be Gandalf. I honestly think, because like, since they're changing stuff, I honestly want to say it's Saruman.
You know, I was thinking the same thing, just and because of is, how his power with fire or whatnot. I'm like,
well, that was the thing. I could see that him was becoming corrupted. That was kind of Gandalf's thing, though. Is he also was like, he was like a fire, like his like, I believe his god was what did revolve around fire. I can't 100% remember, so don't blame me in the comment section. Like my level is like only just below the surface iceberg. It's not like all the way at the bottom of the iceberg level of knowledge. But I feel like it is Saruman, and what it is like they're doing the whole these halfling people as a way to like trick you. And it's why he ends up, because like he's like, Saruman still comes off as cold in the series. Like he's still helpful, and he's like this great wizard until he like he does get corrupted. But like he is like he like I don't feel like he started that way. And I want to say what they're gonna try and do in this series is show that like something's going to happen to I can't remember her name, his Harfoot friend. She's going to get killed somehow.
Nori. I remember her. Yeah.
Something's going to happen to Nori, and she's going to die or something like that. And it's going to make him realize that having sympathy for the other races of Middle Earth is just going to lead him astray. And like, it's going to dilute his purpose, and he needs to have his purpose pure. Cause like, he doesn't really like mingle, like outside of elves. He didn't really like, from what I understand, he didn't really mingle with other races, because it was just like elves were there because the elves were sent there by their gods, the Valar, to go fight Morgoth. And so I feel like he's just kind of like, after what happens to Nori, he's trying to distance himself from the other races of Middle-earth, because he constantly in the movies. I'm not 100% sure on the books. He kind of berates Gandalf for just like, you like, there's one point he's like, you left the halfling's weed clouds your vision, and like your love for the halflings is just causing you to be too sympathetic and like clouding your vision and all this stuff. So I feel like he's kind of like, he's going to, it is Saruman, and this is going to be showing he needs to distance himself from these other races.
Yeah, so I'm kind of on the same road as you. Whenever he got introduced, my first initial thought was, oh, it's Sauron. But then whenever, like, as I'm watching it more, I'm like, okay, obviously this is supposed to be one of the wizards. I feel like they want us to say Gandalf. So that instantly makes me think that this is Sauron. Or Saruman. And I wouldn't be surprised if this, like you said, this is where he becomes more cool or whatever. Like something happens where he has to kind of cast Nori off, and it's going to be a sadder ending than that of, the other hobbits who hung out with wizards in the past. Like, I could see it that he has to kill Nori at some point, that she interferes or whatever, or he's too attached to her. And that's what drives him closer to Sauron. I don't know. I like the cast of the half folks, though. I think everyone in that cast was pretty on point. I liked them all. Unfortunately, the storyline of the wizard itself was kind of boring to me until the last, like, I think it was episode 9, where they actually had the three other wizards or whatever they were. I don't know what those things were.
I wasn't 100% sure what they were either. I believe Alex told... Well, Emily told Alex, and Alex told me. I can't remember, though.
Mm-hmm. I just... All I knew is that whenever the one fell, I'm like, oh, is that supposed to be Sauron? Like, is that Sauron? Because Sauron the White. Like, this makes sense. Like, this checks out. No. I don't know what those things are. I thought for a second after he cast that one spell that kind of banished them, that it was going to be revealed, like, those are ring wraiths, or whatever they're called. But that doesn't make sense, because those things don't exist yet, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was weird to me. I wasn't a huge fan of that story, but now that he has his memory back, I'm hoping that next seasons of that is more interesting to me. Because I did find Nori a interesting character. Semi-complex, but pretty straightforward. It was her friend that I liked the most.
Poppy?
Yeah, Poppy was great, because, like, up to that point, you're like, okay, she's just a really good friends with her. And then when they did that little festival where they started saying, like, all the people who have fell off trail, and he starts naming off all these people with her last name, and she starts bawling, that's when you realize, oh, her whole family died. And she's all by herself. And when you see her and the family walking, she only has her own little small cart. I legitimately got, like, kind of depressed. I'm like, dang, that sucks. That slapped me out of left field. I wasn't prepared for that. I hate seeing that. Yeah, man. Oh, I thought you were going to say something else.
Well, no, isn't that, they're descendants of hobbits, right?
I believe they're halflings, because I think Hobbit is, I think, well, I want to say Hobbit isn't necessarily a race, it's more of what halflings, because they call them halflings too throughout the series, like, oh, they're Hobbits, oh, they're halflings. And I want to say Hobbits is just a term that they coined for this sect of halflings, at least within this canon, because I don't know if Harfoots existed in the Silmarillion. But yeah. Like, they, like, because, like, they settle down, they're not moving, so they want to call themselves something different, just like how, because, like, because Smeagol's a halfling, Gollum, he's a halfling, yeah. But he's not considered a hobbit, he was called a river folk, because Frodo was like, you were one, I think it was Frodo, he was like, you were one of the river folk. And it was just like, I guess it was just a type of halfling that mostly lived next to rivers and did fishing and all that stuff. That's just my take on it. I don't know. Well, other people with greater knowledge can probably tell me.
Well, that the halflings in this season, like of this part of whatever, you know, this, they have like the pirate code, where it's like, you know, if like you get hurt, you're left behind.
Yeah, well, because you can't make the migration.
Rough. Yeah, okay. So, like, it's pretty rough.
Here's the thing. I looked it up, and now, take this with a grain of salt, like Wikipedia, stuff like that, or fandom. I think these things are pretty on point with a lot of the fandom-based ones. But yeah, apparently, Harfolks are hobbits. But basically, what Jordan kind of saying is kind of right, where they're called Harfolks during this age. And it's not until they get settled down that they start being called hobbits and everything. But up to that point, Harfors always traveled. They always traveled. And I don't know. Like, apparently, like, later on, they just said, like, screw it, we don't want to travel no more. We're just going to sit down and we're going to set up camp here. Which makes sense if I remember correctly, because... If I remember correctly, the Shire and where Saruman is, isn't that far away?
So Saruman is in, I believe, is in, so like there's the Shire in the far west of Middle-earth. And then from the Shire, you can go to Rivendell. And then there's a mountain chain. I forget what the name of the mountain chain is. But then there's Rohan. And you can, so like, and like to get to...
Rohan. Sorry.
Isengard, Saruman's tower that he has, is in Rohan. It's like near that mountain. Like that, like it's like at the bottom of that mountain range, I think, of that. I know it's in Rohan. So like they're probably heading west, because from what I think, from what Alex told me, where the Harfoots are now is in Mordor. Most everything that's been happening has been happening mostly in Mordor, because you get that episode at the end of the episode where the one human that's like obedient to like the
Andor.
The dark elf that they tried to make you think is Sauron.
Yeah.
He successfully does his task and plunges that sword into that statue, and it triggers the chain of events that activates Mount Doom and covers
Mordor.
And, yeah. And like, so now they are going to be heading west.
And okay. And we can go into more like story elements about that. What I was not caring at all for that storyline. Like, whenever, like, they all came in, they, like, stopped everything. My brain was like, it's not the end. Like, something is going to be revealed, something. When that kid pulls out the hammer and it's the hammer inside the wrapped up thing, my brain instantly went like, you're telling me they went, like, days without looking at this to see if they actually had the weapon? They just accepted, like, oh, this is the weapon. Let's not think about it. That was funny to me. And whenever the guy actually like activated Mount Doom, you know what, I do this a lot when it comes to shows or anything. When certain things don't make sense for the plan, like the plan makes too much, it doesn't seem to make sense to me, right? The whole idea that Morgoth or Sauron or whoever set up this blade to turn and activate a thing to cause like a flood to activate the volcano, but completely relied on the orcs burrowing this out. So did Sauron originally have this plan to create this and burrow this out before he disappeared?
So
that doesn't make sense to me.
I think what it might have been is, so like, In that, I think it was the first episode. Yeah, it was. When, like, Galadriel was, like, in the north. Like, they're in that ice place. They like, they're following this lead of where Sauron is. They get to that fortress, and they see all that stuff there. And, like, they see that marking that actually ends up being a map marker instead of, like, some dark rune. And, like, I think what it is Sauron was experimenting, because we don't know how long that place has been doing. And, like, it was probably Sauron experimenting is like, well, how can... Because, like, at this point, his plan is to do the whole... Like, it's called the Rings of Power for this is him creating the ring.
Yeah.
So he probably had this plan, like, because I think Mount Doom was a dormant volcano.
Yes, because we hear it from the Harfoots. When they were talking about it, it's like, what happened here? And it's like, well, they said that there was a mountain that has been sleeping for 1,000 years because it's no longer tempered. It doesn't care. But something happened that activated. And of course, it would be this year with this bad omen of this man that the volcano would become active again.
Yeah. So I think it's like, It is very, it's convenient. It feels like he planned it. Like this is some.
It definitely was a planned thing. It doesn't make sense for me for it to be planned.
So here's the thing, though.
Yeah.
When you're a being that has thousands of years to plot things, it's not so much you're planning it. It's more of, you know what? This situation is actually more helpful than the current situation I'm in. I'm going to do it. And, like, he's just going to keep getting these situations until he can formulate them.
But that's my issue with it, right? Because the plan relied on having the orcs dig out this trench, Which we don't know how long they've been doing that for, apparently like hundreds of years or something like that. But they were able to do this completely to the point where no one could find them, which again, I feel like that would have happened a lot sooner. Cause their tents were not well hidden. You could see it from any view. But it also relied on the water gate, cause the whole function of that sword was not meant to like turn it and it activates the volcano. It was to turn to open the floodgates. And it's like, couldn't any sword been used for that? Because it wasn't like that sword was anything special after he stabbed it in there and turned it. It was just a sword. I guess also magic or whatever, but it didn't make sense to me that it required on both the orcs to dig out that whole thing, the water to still be there after thousands of years, and that no, like, all this was based upon a single sword. There was too many ifs in it for it to be like a coherent plan to me.
I mean, it's fair enough.
Because it fell in the same realm of the White Walker in Game of Thrones, you know? Like, what was the plan? Just to go up to the ice wall and just sit there until a dragon came by so you could kill it and burn down the wall? That makes no sense. The plan should not include a if. We will get past this wall if a dragon comes here. That makes no sense. And there's another story in this show that had a huge if in it multiple times that I got frustrated as well. And that was Sauron's story. When he's like, I'm Halbrand or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That whole story was a bunch of ifs. If Sauron found an elf on the water, he would have been doomed there or whatever. It makes no sense. If they would have been saved by this girl, if they would have let him be at Namor or whatever, if he would have went and fought, if he would have got stabbed, that gave him the out to go to this, the elves to like talk to them. And then it's also if they had the materials to possibly create the rings. There was so many ifs that my brain went like, that was dumb.
So I will also say, like, they are crushing everything down.
Yeah, they are definitely, like, condensing it.
So, like, there's going to be a lot of scenarios that are just kind of like, oh, well, that didn't.
That was too convenient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, in from what I understand, in the books, like, Sauron takes, like, hundreds of years plotting the downfall of,
Numenor. Yeah.
And now it's gonna seem like it's gonna happen soon, because like, and they're it's gonna go about it a different way.
Completely.
And it's because of that object that was in the tower, like that the king was in.
Oh, the orb,
the plantier.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what they're called. They're called a plantier. So like, this. So like, if you watched or like know anything about Lord of the Rings, this is Sauron's like ace in the hole. For like mind game corrupting people. That's how he got Sauron. That's how he messed with Denethor, the steward of Gondor. That's how he messed with him, because he would go use the plantier that's in Gondor to basically like have like these mental battles with like Sauron and try and beat him back and like keep Gondor safe, when actuality Sauron's plan is to make him go crazy.
Yeah,
which he does.
And see, that's the thing, like, yeah, it just, I wonder if they were trying to do a what if there, you know, because there's the point where he's like, I just wanted to stay here, that's all I wanted to do, I just wanted to be here. And my brain's like, I wonder if that was supposed to be the divergent point, right? In the original story, he stays there and then everything happens the way it happens.
Yeah.
But in the show, she convinces him and gets him to come, and that changes the outcome, but ultimately does not change the destination.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's true. Like, that's something that, like, now that I know that, Alex and, is that? Emily, thank you. Gosh, I can't ever remember her name. I wanted to say Alice for some reason. They're big Lord of the Rings fans. I can just spout information and questions at them, and they can at least give me
Emily will probably give you a more accurate version.
My plan is to spout it at Alex, and hopefully it gets to the point where he doesn't know, and he will ask Emily. And then it will be
that like, might be the first question you ask, because he's done that a couple times when me and him were talking about it. He's just like, wait, I'll go ask Emily.
Yeah, give me a second. Or maybe we'll all go out, get something to eat when Austin comes up this weekend, and then we can all sit there and like grill Emily on knowledge. That sounds like a plan as well. Okay, let's talk about the parts of the show that I love, though, quickly, or in some time. Austin, you have not talked much, and that's kind of fine. You didn't really like this as much, apparently. But I loved Elrond's story along with the dwarf side, because I will say it now.
Durin's
wife, I loved her.
No, I think she's a great character, actually.
I really
enjoyed her.
When she talks and everything, and how she had like his back on a lot of stuff, and then the second she gets called out, she's just like, you got me! This is it! This is that! Like, I loved it. Like, I actually found her great. And then at the end, whenever the father basically like disowns him for having that, and she looks at him, she's like, look, he ain't gonna be on the throne forever, then me and you will be together! I was like... Dang, man, she has like weird levels of what you want to call it, motivational speak to him, and I can see what he saw in her. Like, that was great. I absolutely loved her, and the whole story about the rings. I remember my one friend in college, Josh Garcia. He was a big fan of Lord of the Rings, and he read the Silmarillion. And I remember him telling me that the reason why the elves needed mithril was because they were getting corrupted from the Middle Earth and whatnot, and they had to return to the Eternal Lands in order to live.
Mm-hmm.
It was really cool how they did it in the show.
Yeah.
I liked it. I liked the whole thing. I liked how mithril looked, too. That looked great.
I love the foreshadowing. Like, when, so, like, Elrond, like, they find the cave,
mm-hmm.
that, I don't know if Durin's dad's name is Durin, because, like, all the dwarves come from the line of Durin, like, mm-hmm. all the royalty. So, like, Thorin Oakenshield from The Hobbit and all that stuff. So I don't know if his dad's name is Durin. I don't think so. I think he is the first one. Like, this is the Durin.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure, though. But, like, they find that cave that, like, Durin's father is just like, no, not, no more. Mithril's too dangerous to go mine. And then, like, when they go in there, secretly start digging it out, and then, like, Elrond had that leaf. It blows through the hole and, like, drifts down, lands in front of this egg-looking thing, and then catches on fire.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I love that foreshadowing. I was just like, ooh.
Yep.
Ooh, are we gonna get a Balrog here soon?
We are. I actually had to look up like a whole bunch of stuff about this, because I was like, okay, I kind of want to know what this is. And they talked about like that's what that metal is from. The Balrog was fighting someone.
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah. The story. Struck
the tree. Yeah. So like us. Yeah. So like a lot of. Like, what I've researched is going to be in season 2, a Belroth, or how you pronounce it. A Belrog, or whatever. But supposedly what I've been told is, like, that's what it was an egg, and that's what it was. Which, that's why it's too dangerous to mine. So, yeah. I'm pretty excited.
It doesn't make sense. I don't think Balrogs reproduce.
They don't. So what the Balrogs were is that They were also
Ishtar.
They were the fallen.
Yeah.
Aeir.
Yeah. That was something my friend explained to me. My friend Garcia explained to me. He's like, yeah, Balrogs and like Ishtar is like what Gandalf is, or Valyr, whatever they're called. They're the same people. Just whenever they fell corrupted to Morgoth. Thank you. they became corrupted like that, and I'm like, mm-hmm. that's an awesome story. Like, that's great.
So I'm also a little bit disappointed that we don't get to see the war with Morgoth, because like you get more Balrogs in that one. But you also, because like a big thing was Balrogs would ride dragons into battle. So that would have been an epic thing to see, is just like a Balrog riding a dragon into battle. And like for scale wise, the people who have seen The Hobbit, like either whether it be the old animated one or like the new trilogy, you've seen Smaug. You've seen how big Smaug is. Smaug is like a tiny dragon compared to the ones that were flying around during this war. Okay. Like Smaug is tiny.
I totally thought of like a Balrog riding a dragon, like a surfer dude, because the dragon was just small enough, but he couldn't sit on it, so he would have to be like surfing on it. He's like, "I'm going to hit you with my little chain whip.
I'm going to surf."
Also, for your question, according to the fandom, the Durin we see is the third.
Is the third? Okay.
Durin the third, who's the king currently, and that's Durin the fourth, who is his son.
Okay.
So, it's not the original one, but pretty darn close, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I love the whole thing. I love the little, like, game that Elrond had to play with the other dwarves to, let him in to, like, break it. I totally thought it was going to be a drinking game. And then they bring in a big old rock.
Smashing rocks.
Yeah, they bring in a big old rock, and I'm like, rocking stone. And I loved it. I'm like, that's such a great little thing. And then I liked it even more that after they did it, it was kind of all for show, and they both knew it. But Durin also was pretty upset at
Elrond
for like not being there for everything. And I understood
one thing about that whole scene. The CGI for that, like the dwarf place that they're living at, is very well done. Like the CGI in some of these scenes are really well done.
Oh, that's not CGI, Austin. That's the real thing. They dug it out. It's like the new Hobbiton. Hobbiton? Oh. It's in New Zealand. Trust me on this, bro.
No. I think the CGI in the show is very well done. I'm not going to lie. That they did spend, what was it? This is like, what was it, $1 billion?
Well, that includes the rights and everything.
Oh, gotcha.
The full cost to make the show is like the most in history because of the rights they had to like pay money for. Which blows my mind that all this money is being thrown around. And there's a side of me that's like, yes, there's a lot of weight and power behind Lord of the Rings. I feel like it's also a big gamble too. Because this is something where I'm like, the fans of Lord of the Rings are devotees to it. They're the type of people, like the Harry Potter people, and the Game of Thrones people, that will get up in arms over a small change. And now that you told me this, Jordan, about like how it's like diverging from the actual Samarilla, I'm like, I can see why a lot of people were upset with this. Why they wouldn't, like, they would lost a lot of their original fan base just because it does not follow it to a T.
Yep.
And that makes me upset. I know there was a point where like people were upset about races or whatever in the world, because like certain characters were like dark-skinned individuals or light-skinned. They're like, oh, it's supposed to be this.
I like that.
I loved it too,
because like
that makes like, more sense.
Yeah, it does. For people who play MMOs, it's just kind of like, oh, like you can like now, like games are starting to get more like diverse with their skin tones that you can do, and it makes it more interesting, and it makes the world building better. Makes it so much more better, because now it's just like, oh, like, because like you're gonna, like, depending on where you live in the world, in our world, your skin tone changes and adapts to live in that situation.
Yeah.
And like, granted, like one race can be from this area and another, but like that race can also go somewhere else in the world, because there's like, I'm kind of bored up here. Like a northern race, it's like, I'm kind of bored up here. They go south. they're over the hundreds and thousands of years, they're going to adapt to that place of living.
Mm-hmm. And some traits will stay and some will not. And that's just how evolution works in general, you know? But I liked the different characters we got. I liked the one elf guy. He was pretty cool. The only issue I had with him was not even him. It was more of camera work. I hate it whenever he was fighting, they would slow down the fight so often. I felt like I was watching the 300 again.
I don't know if they were doing that on purpose for like, because like elves perceive things completely differently from humans do. Because it's like, I think I remember reading somewhere that like, so like in that scene in the Two Towers where Aragorn is like, Legolas, what does your elf eye see? And like he perfect, like you can't even see them on the screen. And like he perfectly tells all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because elves apparently, from what I've read, they perceive the world as flat. Like they are flat earthers, essentially. they do not see the circumference of the world.
Hmm. Interesting.
Or like they don't it's this weird thing that they don't really perceive it or something like that. So like they can see farther than like a human could.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it kind of makes sense to a degree. That's just weird elf eyes, man. Like, what can
but
we
like,
do there?
But it's like, I think it's also just slowing down. It might have just been like, oh, we're slowing down because we see how a elf perceives combat. And it's just like, I mean, that's kind of cool, I guess, but eh. Like, you didn't really need to do that in any of the other... They didn't need to do that. I know it's disjointed from like the Warner Brothers Lord of the Rings, but like, they didn't really need to do that. They didn't need to slow it down when Legolas was slinging arrows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much. And I always find like the slowdown is kind of weird and off-putting for me personally. But that's also for me. All right. Jordan.
Hello.
Any last thing you want to say or talk about for the Ring of Power? Excited, not excited, looking forward to it, kind of 50-50. What's your thoughts?
It did hook me. I do want to see more of it. I am probably gonna continue to watch it. I might not be like on it like when it like this day it came out this episode the new episode came out today. I gotta go watch it. Yeah. But I will watch it at some point that week, probably.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that like I'm just busy. But it's like one of those things of like I'm probably gonna continue watching it until like they start doing it. Because like now it has definitely started picking up. It has definitely started like becoming more, it's more interesting. Because like now I want to see, because here's the thing. Sauron already tricked Celebrimbor, who is like in that Shadow of War games. That's the ghost that you get as Tirelian, the ghost elf that follows you around.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's him. So he tricked Celebrimbor once to make the three elf rings. He's got to do this again, because he has to trick him again.
Here's the thing, though. I don't think he needs to, because the whole concept of he tricked them. No. I think what they're going to see is that all he wanted from there was he needed a master smith to make with the resources to test how to make this so he could make his own. But because he was not there at the final procedure making thing, he won't have all the information, but the elves will. And whenever the elves like get these rings, because they made the three, it's like, okay, they're going to let the dwarves know. And then the dwarves are going to make their rings. And then whenever the men, like they help the man or whatever, that's when they'll make the seven rings, because men are greedy and they're going to want their own form and whatnot. And I think
actually nine.
Nine. Okay. Is it? Wait. So it's three for elves, seven for dwarves?
Three for the elves, seven for the dwarf lords, and nine for men.
For men, yeah. And then after that is made, he'll finally have all the stuff. And I will ask this, because I even though I watch Lord of the Rings, I never quite understood it. The whole phrasing of like one ring to find them, one ring to bind, one ring to do that like that saying. Yeah. Was the original plan for him to collect all the rings?
So what it is, from what I understand, what it was, so like this is the part where like you, so what you're saying would be a cool divergent situation that happens, but like this is why he has to trick them again, because he has to use a fair form, so he's gonna be more of an elf because Sauron's a shapeshifter.
I didn't know that.
He's a shapeshifter, so like whenever he goes back to Celebrimbor again to help him make the other rings, he uses a fair form. They don't say exactly what race he is, they just say it's a fair form.
Mm-hmm.
But he basically is imbuing when he's helping Celebrimbor, he's imbuing magic into these rings that make it to where like he's imbuing some of himself, maybe, because like his ring was made using his like own soul, which is why whenever he loses it, he loses all his power, because all his power is in that ring. So okay. Like that ring is basically meant to corrupt all the other rings and bring them to him, because the nine men that he corrupt are the ring wraiths, because
yes,
there's nine.
I remember hearing that. Yeah.
Huh. So like that's, and like the elves were able to resist because they were like, oh, we saw this coming, and basically put up protective magic. And I don't know what the dwarves did, in all honesty. Like, I guess the dwarves were mistaken in this world.
Oh,
anyway,
no,
so
wait. So, okay, I remember my friend Josh telling me about like the ring sidigree, and he's like, elves, that there was something about the mithril being like protective or whatnot, but it's like the ring is supposed to drive out their like their will or what they want in life.
Mm-hmm.
And like the elves just wanted to live, and so they were able to like just live eternally with those rings, essentially. But with the dwarves, all they wanted was to mine into a mass wealth, and so they all just went into a cave and just sat there and mined into mass wealth for the rest of their life, and was completely useless to Sauron. And then the humans, they were ambitious. They were the ones who won more power, and thus they became evil like that. Now, whether or not that what he said is true, I would have to look it up. But that's also the reason why he explained to me that the ring, why it was such a burden for Gandalf and why he freaked out, was because the ring would drive out that instinct and give adjacent power. So like if Gandalf had it, it would give him adjacent power to himself, essentially like unlocking his true potential. But with hobbits, it would give them what they truly wanted, which hobbits just wanted to be away from the world, like hidden to the rest of the world, and thus is why they turn invisible.
Yeah.
They have no other ambitions other than that. And I'm just like, that's an interesting thing. It's also why he told me in the books, when Sam took the ring tried to tempt him with what he always wanted, which was to garden in a home of his, like, where he wished to live. Like, it was just garden. Like, I can give you a beautiful garden. And he gets it at the end anyways. He didn't need no ring for that. Sam is my boy.
I mean, because that's also why, like, a hobbit is, like, the best ring bearer.
Yeah.
Because they don't want anything. Like, they're not ambitious. They don't really want anything out of life. They're just kind of like, I'm just content. Like,
I just
want to
live.
Literally, like, you go, like, whenever you go through, like how the Shire and all this stuff, and like you see all these people, it's just like they live a relatively, like, I don't want to say utopian life, but like a simple,
simple, easygoing life. It's the world they live, the life that every like rural city or rural town in the United States and other parts of the world want.
Yeah,
they do their own thing, they take care of the whole thing, they're protected, they don't have to worry about anything. That is what the world that all of them want.
But it's also one of those things of just like outside, like I think like the only reason like they have farmers is because someone wants to farm as a hobby.
Yeah, that's like, legitimately it.
Because it's like Bilbo lives in Bag End, but and Frodo does now too. But it's just like what do they do? They don't have to do anything for a living. They don't have to be a blacksmith. They don't have to be whatever.
Just like having fun.
They just they just exist there.
Yep.
And it's just one of those things, just like that's honestly a good life. But like it just proves that like they don't want anything. There's nothing the ring can really tempt them with other than basically like, hey, go home, which then the ring is kind of not doing its thing it needs to do, which is go to Sauron, because you know the Shire's all the way on the other side of Middle Earth.
Yeah, yeah. And then that's the funny thing also about like Gollum with it, right? Is he just wanted to ogle the ring and hide, like be alone. And that's what he did for countless years.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys. We're getting off topic one last time. So Austin, what your final thoughts about Ring of Power? Yay, nay, are you gonna watch more seasons of it?
I know we're going to.
Yeah, we probably
that's
will.
That's just how it is. But I'm not a fan. I have my feelings on Lord of the Rings for a long time. But the thing is, it's like if you're a fan of Lord of the Rings, I haven't talked to really anyone that was a fan of it except was it our friend Dylan? But he didn't say too much. He just said that like. There's more coming. That's what he told me. And I was like, oh, okay. Maybe that makes sense. And then I heard from one of my other friends that the character development was terrible. Actually, you were there. It was Travis. When he said that was like the worst show he's ever saw character development on.
Oh, yeah. I remember him telling that. Yeah.
It's not a show for me. I will say that. It's just I wasn't entertained enough to keep invested. It's like how Jordan says, like, I'm not going to come every week and be like, oh, I have to watch the new episode. And I was like, I hope we never have to watch this again because I wasn't a real fan of it. But, you know, it'll happen. But
I'll be his replacement, Josiah. Don't worry.
There you go. You wanna do
Basically, that's how it's working right now. It's just like we'll get someone on board. No, that's reasonable. Yeah.
You're not going to like everything. You can't please everybody, despite what filmmakers and developers want.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes. See, the sad thing is like I fell asleep to the first episode like 3 times in a row. Like I was like up late. I was watching a show and usually I can watch shows if they invest me enough or like the first 2 episodes invest me enough, then I'll probably binge it or I'll just keep watching it. But like there was multiple times where I'd put it on and then I'd watch like maybe like 30 minutes of it and I'd fall asleep. And then I'm like, oh, I got to restart because I don't remember like the last like 20 minutes and then 30 minutes. I'm like, you know, asleep. So, you know, this wasn't a show that really got me invested. I wasn't really interested in. I didn't really care too much for Lord of the Rings anyways. So I totally understand why people probably love this show. Just not for me.
Not your thing. That's fair enough. I enjoy it. I'm willing to watch another season of it. I hope I enjoy it as well. And I think that where it's all setting up and everything, I'm interested to see how and where it goes from here. And because I have no context for the Samarella or the other form of the Hobbit books themselves, I have no like predetermined knowledge of this stuff. I can only guess on what I know from the show. So I'm interested in watching it. 2 out of 3, you know, 2 out of 3 people like this show. I guess it's true, man. All right. Well, that basically covers it for this week of Bros and Shows. Jordan, thank you so much for joining us. Austin, thank you so much for joining us, too. For next week, we are watching Wednesday, the new Netflix show of Wednesday Addams, the Addams family, the people. So yeah, we hope to see you guys all next year, where I believe we will be on air unless we decide to get someone else to join us, but I don't think we have anyone queued up for that. So we'll see you all guys next Monday when we do that. So thank you all for stopping by. Thank you all so much for tuning in.